it's so great to be with you today. I am really grateful that my iPad is working, and I'm really grateful to see all of you students up in the balcony. Again, Jason said it, and I'm going to reiterate that. But one of the things that you may or may not know is as we are finishing up this Generations 3-week series, our lead pastor, Jason, has gotten really, really into it. He can be a little over the top sometimes. Look at this picture that he's actually done recently. Do you see what I see? A little closer. Get a little closer. Okay. All right. Just a little over the top is our pastor, but that's okay. He is for you, and I'm so glad that he's for you. But here's the big idea if you've missed it, or maybe you're watching online, you've been on vacation, you're just returning. Here it is. And this is a quote from our own Pastor Manny. Inheritance is what you leave to someone. Legacy is what you leave in them. That's the big idea. And here's the big question that I have for us. What are you passing along? What are you passing along? And then how are you doing that? What does that look like? And here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you are a parent, this message is for you. It doesn't matter if you're a student, this message is for you. Or if you're 10 years old, 12 years old, 30 years old, 99 years old, age doesn't pertain to this particular message. Nor does demographic, nor does finances, nor does your education. This message is for everybody. So guess what? We're all on the hook this morning for what we are about to hear. We have an all-in message because legacy isn't bound by anything. And I love what Jason said. He said, legacy is the reputation and the life you lead. Setting an example for others, it impacts, it encourages, it leaves pathways for others. Did you know that there are only three things that will last forever? Did you know that? Can you guess what they are? Anyone? Students? Come on. God? God's word? People! That's it! Good job, everybody. God, his word, and his people. Those are the only three things that will last. Pastor Charles Spurgeon said that a good character is the best tombstone. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble. So, some of you may remember this about me, but I'm married to Adam, and Adam, for a career, is a hydrogeologist. Okay, that's a big word. It basically means he's very smart. Okay, and the first few years of our marriage, he would often use four-syllable words, like often, and I'd be like, I'd look like this, you know? I'm like, I'm not tracking, honey. Just bring it a little bit lower, okay? Just a little bit to my level. And so we've learned how to communicate much better over the years. But I will tell you one example of our, you know, getting things lost in translation is our first few years of marriage, we're driving to go look at a potential condo that we would eventually buy. And we're driving up this beautiful hill in Lake Forest, California. And it's really beautiful. And he's driving and he's like, Meg, look at the mature vegetation. I'm like, what? You mean the big trees? That's an example of the four-syllable words. Just bring it down a notch. You know what I'm saying? So he did, and he learned to do it. But the three things that I want to tell you that I absolutely love about my husband, and it's absolutely true, is that by a long shot, I married the nicest man I've ever met. And people are like, how did you get him? I know. I married out of my league. The second thing is, he is the wisest man, honestly, that I've known. And I am not kidding you. And he is, thirdly, a lot like Jesus. So I learn a lot from my husband. And he would say we learn together, but I'm just telling you, I learned more from him than he from me. So he's really an amazing person, and I get to be married to him. So we were talking about this series, and I said to him, well, it's about legacy. As you know, Jason's been talking about generation to generation. And he said, well, what about that one quote, Megan, that's this? I don't know exactly who it's from, but it says, be a river, not a reservoir. Be a river, not a reservoir. Now, you guys know a reservoir looks like this. It's a body of water that's, you know, it's immobile, it's still, it's stagnant. Think of it like a giant puddle. That's a reservoir. A river, on the other hand, is constantly flowing. It's moving. It's alive for living things. It feeds into a larger body to go on to bigger and better things. So one is stagnant, motionless, even insulated, if you will, and the other is moving, always pouring itself out. Jesus used a really great example about what this could look like in our lives in John chapter 7 when he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, can be streams of living water. And those streams will flow from within them." So we're meant to pour out. We're meant to refresh. We're meant to give back. And that's what this Generation to Generation series has been all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what are we giving, what's the impact we're leaving, and how are we pouring ourselves out. And so I think most of you may know by now, unless you're visiting, that this series has been based on two incredible men. One, Moses, who you know, the other, his successor and his apprentice, Joshua. And these are two incredible men, but I would also add not just incredible, but imperfect men. They're incredible and they're imperfect. And I add imperfect because I don't know if sometimes you're like me, but I can read about a historical figure, specifically even a biblical historical figure, and I will be like, man, they're like superheroes. I mean, they were really, really special. And it's true. They were really, really special. It's also true that they were really, really human. And guess what? You too are really, really special and really, really human. And God has a plan for your life. He's got a design, he has a purpose, he has a direction, he has an anointing, he's got a calling, he's gonna move in your life, and only you can fulfill that exact purpose. And guess what, everybody? Here's the great news. You get to choose. Reservoir or a river. Every one of us get that choice because God is a gentleman and he will not force his way into our life. He lets us choose. So Moses and Joshua were rivers. They're pouring their lives out, allowing God to flow through them. And I was thinking about Moses. I mean, we know Jason's done such an incredible job of just laying the foundation. I mean, who doesn't know about Moses, right? You don't even need to be a Christian to know about Moses. You've seen the Prince of Egypt. You know what I'm talking about. He did amazing things. And he modeled for the generation that he oversaw, 2 million people, by the way, what God had done and what God was doing. They all witnessed these miracles. And then Joshua was part of that, by the way. He saw it all. And then Moses, by God's design, would be his successor. And I would imagine if I'm Joshua, I'm like, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. Whew! Moses, really? But God doesn't make a mistake. And Joshua was his guy. And Joshua knew that he knew that he knew that it was going to be critical to always remember and to remind the people who were with him, who followed his leadership, to always remember the goodness of God and all that he had done. And so, in Joshua chapter 4, it says this: when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan River. The Jordan is a river, by the way. The whole nation, that's 2.5 million people, by the way. The Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people from each tribe and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over to you and put them down at the place where you are to stay tonight." So Joshua called together and said to them, "Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean, Mom? What do these stones mean, big brother, sister, aunt, uncle?' You're going to tell them that they flew out of the Jordan River. It was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. and when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So for decades, these people would walk past these monuments, these stones that were built up, and they'd be walking past it, maybe holding somebody's hand or not, and they'd be like, what's that, guys? I mean, I think about, anybody have young kids in this room at all? Anyone? Young kids? Raise your hand, would you please? Okay, great. I know you do. Hi, everybody up there. You understand this concept. You'll be walking past something, and it will take you forever because there's so little, but they'll say, what's that? What's that? And you have to explain to them what you're seeing. Well, that's the same that it was with the reasoning for these memorials. What's that? Oh, let me tell you what these stones mean. They have so much meaning behind them. So we all need reminders. I think about Castaways on the Hill. You know that beautiful bronze statue of the soldier? Have you all seen it? It's beautiful. Have you ever stopped to read it? It reminds you of a battalion that went before us whose lives were radically changed, impact, many of them killed, but they represented our country and the freedom that we get. That's a memorial. And so we need to be reminded because we just forget. Do you forget stuff? Am I the only one going through menopause who forgets stuff in this room? It is easy to forget. So you build memorials so you remember, and something then happened. Despite the fact that over 2 million people were surrounded by these stones of remembrance, that they knew Yahweh, that they heard of his miracles, they experienced a lot of things that were amazing. They knew the God of their ancestors. Despite the fact, I'm going to tell you that something tragic happened in this point of the story. Tragic, and I would actually say to you, it may be the saddest verse in the entire Old Testament. Take a look at the screen. Judges chapter 2, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. That's not the sad part. After that, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then, everybody, then, or as a result of this, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherah. Those are the gods of their day, and they were everywhere. And they were really into him. And so, you know, I have a little visual behind me, and I really want to say that this represents the blood of Jesus and be really spiritual, but it doesn't. It was on sale at Amazon. Anyway, so here's what I want to do, the red ribbon. I want to just show you what this might look like, that this represents the generations. And let's just say from here to about, I'm going to go here, represents the Moses generation. So you have all of this, the Moses generation. This is 2 million people who have heard the stories, saw the miracles, saw all the amazing thing God did, the parting of the Red Sea, the mighty Red Sea. They knew the story. And Joshua was part of this, younger, growing up in it, and Moses then passes the baton to Joshua. So from here to here is the Joshua generation. Again, this is about 2 million people. This is about 2.5 million, give or take. And they're telling the stories. They're living it out. They're passing it along. But then something happens. As we just read in Scripture, they did not know the Lord. And somehow, someway, as a result of not knowing the Lord, somebody dropped the ball. And they were cut off from the stories. No more. They did not know the Lord. And I think here we are 3,000 years away they were, 3,000 years away from the iPhones, from the internet, social media, TikTok. I mean, how were these people so distracted? What happened? Why did they drop the ball? Because it says, and we could put this back on the screen, that they did not know the Lord or what he had done. That word know, it's not about knowledge. It's not about books. It's not about education. This word know in Hebrew is yada. Say it with me, yada. Congratulations, you know Hebrew, okay? Yada. And that word is very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, some of you are maybe around my age, and you may remember Seinfeld. Anyone? Great, three of us. Anyway, so Seinfeld, you may remember that George Costanza, he's like the short, bald-headed guy. He had a girlfriend. At one episode, he is having a conversation with his girlfriend, and she's telling him stories, really important stories that she wants him to pay attention to. And in the middle of the story, she's talking, and she goes, yeah, you know that what that means, yada, yada, yada. And George is like, what does yada, yada, yada mean? I want to know the details. George, you know what happened when she did that, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it's leaving out critical parts of the story. Well, that's not what this word means right here. Not at all. It's a little bit different. This word, yada, it means direct, intimate contact. Direct, intimate contact. And it's the same word, interestingly enough. I saw this on a cement stone walking around the island the other day. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, yada him, and he will direct your path. Same word. In all of your ways, have direct, intimate contact with him, and he will, it's a promise, he will direct your path. Are some of you here today wondering, what am I supposed to do next? Yada. How are we doing with direct, intimate contact with the Lord? I mean, some of you, you're like, well, you know, I mean, I go to church, yada, yada, yada. And some of you are, I go to church, yada. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, yada, yada, yada. I'm a Christian. Yada. Which one represents you? And if we're honest, maybe there's been times in our life we've been both. But God in his goodness says, I want yada with you. Direct. Intimate contact because I love you. So I thought this morning I could just perhaps give you three just practical ways, ideas that we could live out legacy and actually take this on like we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Take on the idea of generation to generation, leaving a life of legacy. And they all, I just made it really easy, they all start with the letter S, and Jason already said it, the first one is be like stew. Just kidding. The first one, it's just never funny. It wasn't funny last service, Jason, and it's not funny this service. Okay, I'm not gonna ever use that line ever again. But the first one is this: we prepare and we share our story. We prepare and we share our story. I mean, I want you to think about this. Who doesn't love a good story, right? We love stories. We love books. We love movies. Some of us love social media and we're scrolling through stories. For some of us, you like 60 Minutes. Others, SpongeBob. It doesn't matter. It's stories and they matter because stories connect us. That is the purpose of stories. They bring a connection that we need. And when you think about scripture, it's this amazing storybook that is filled with this colorful variety of transforming testimonies and stories. And it's God's powerful handiwork displayed through story. How many of you were here last week? Great. Most of us were here. There's some who weren't. Oh, we had a 17-year-old named Elsie share her story. Come on, Elsie, right? You may have heard this. There she is. She did an incredibly courageous job of sharing her story. Did such an amazing job. And she used this tool. It's called the 7 blocks. I'm going to put that on the screen for you. And it's just a simple tool. It's not like rocket science, but it's a tool that I created years ago to just help people write their story. And I've used it with over 1,000 people, and I'm hoping to get it published. And God knows if it needs to or not, it's up to Him. But here's the idea and kind of the instruction behind it. The first block, as we're going to see in a minute, each block represents a milestone, starting with the first one. It's a milestone that has shaped who you are. Second idea is this, that each block will either have a positive or a negative, depending on that memory. Was it a positive experience or a negative experience? Because God uses both, and there's a negative in every single one of our stories, because there's usually some pain or transition that God's going to use. And then thirdly, the block number 7, the big one on the right, that block number 7 represents what God has for your future, what you're dreaming about, what you see, what He might have in store for you. Mine are the words, think big, based on Ephesians 3:20. I believe God's going to do amazing things in me, through me, because I'm a child of God. Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He do that through you too? That's my block number 7. Plus 7 is the perfect number and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, here's what I want you to do. I want you to flip over your outline right here. Just flip it on over. And then if you don't have one, you can use the notes that are right in front of the pew in front of you. And I would like for you to draw the 7 blocks. Go ahead, just go ahead and do it. And as you're drawing that, I'm going to share just a few of my blocks with you. I'm not going to share all of them, but I'm just going to share a few of my blocks with you so you get the idea. And perhaps as I'm sharing, a word or two might surface for you in your story. Here's what I know for sure. What I know for sure is that our stories, yours and mine, are sacred. They're holy. When we share them and tell them, we are entering somebody's like sacred, personal, weighty, glorifying space. And that's true for what I'm about to share with you, and that's true for your story. And I thought it was so precious. Last night, there were some little kids that were in our service, and one of them is a 6-year-old named Willa. And as I'm explaining this, this is what she draws, and her mom hands it to me after service. Kind, helpful, good at coloring, good at monkey bars, slow eater, good dancer. Okay? But here's the goal. I just thought that was so cute, I had to share it. Here's the goal. You prepare and share your story, your testimony, your legacy, with the idea about what God has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. So here's mine, just parts of it. So I'm the youngest of 4 girls. We grew up in San Clemente, and we had a lot of fun. In fact, the word I would use for my first block is play. We played a lot. My parents bought a motorhome. It was a really ugly orange one, but that didn't matter. It was so much fun. We bought a boat. We went water skiing. We did a lot of incredible things in my childhood. At about 9 years old, my parents took me and my 3 older sisters in the orange motorhome, by the way, to New York City to go see the Broadway musical Annie. And that just ignited something in me and became my goal to sound just like her. Do you want to hear? I mean, do you?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're only a day away. Okay. Yeah, I will never do that again. But anyway, that is what I did. That birthed for me this word to perform. And I got in private singing lessons, and singing became my everything. I loved it. It was amazing, actually, for a very long time, until it wasn't, and that's another block. But my next block actually came when I was just about 14 years old. I just had turned 14, and I had joined a youth group. And in that youth group, I met an older guy who said he was a Christian too. And that ended up in, let's just say, a very traumatizing situation for me. So my next block is the word pain. And it shaped me. And it would turn me into this downward spiral that I had no idea, or nor did I have the tools to deal with what was going on. But you wouldn't know it, because during that block of time, my high school years, I learned to manage my three P's so that nobody would know. And they were performing, pleasing, and looking put together. And boy, was I good at it. But one of the things I know about God, I've learned about him, is he doesn't waste a pain. He wants to use our pain for his purpose. So he never leaves us there. Did you hear that this morning? Somebody's got to hear that this morning. He doesn't leave us there. So I'm 19 years old. By God's design, I'm at Azusa Pacific University on a vocal scholarship, and I hear a female chapel speaker. You see where this is going? And she talks about two things. One was an identity in Jesus Christ, the only identity that can't be rocked or shaken or taken. And I'm like, I am in, because I was shaken, taken, and I know what that, and that doesn't work. So I receive Jesus, and then she talks about this trauma that happened to me, and I was all of a sudden able to put a word with what happened to that 14-year-old girl. And so my next block was hope and healing, because I called my mom and dad the second I realized what had happened to me when I was 14 years old, and my mom and dad said, we will do whatever it takes to get you well. And that next day, I started to see a Christian therapist, and it changed my life. It changed my life. And I was committed to do whatever it took to be whole. So, everybody has a story. What's yours? What's your seven-block story so far? What is God doing, and what does he want to use in your life? Because what I know for sure is that part of leaving a legacy, passing on to the next generation, or maybe your neighbor, or maybe your friend, or maybe it's someone younger, maybe it's someone older. Remember, legacy knows no age. It can, but it's not limited to that. It starts with our story. And another way we can do it is we serve. We just say, yes, God. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. One of my good friends is named John Harris. He's an amazing man. He says a lot. He says, Megan, we have one life to live and we have one life to give. Just like that, one life to live, one life to give. In other words, be a river. Be a river. Let them flow out of you. Give it away. I put something inside of you and it's not meant for you, it's meant for others. And I want to use your personality and your gift and your talents and your skills and your pain to be for the kingdom good. And there's a lot when we talk about giving our life away, and I want to get really specific with you. And it's regarding a statistic that I read recently. Gen Z, who you may be familiar with, they are the demographic that was born between 1999 and 2015. There's a recent study by Barna that said that 57% of Gen Z has no religion and they don't want a thing to do with church. That is not okay. That, everybody, is this. They don't care that the ball has dropped. They don't really want anything to do with it, 57% of them. And I look at that, and do you know my title? I can't even believe it. I cry when I think about what God has done. My title is Family Generations Pastor. I can't believe it. I love you guys. I love this age. I love kids. I'm looking at our preschool teacher, Andy. She loves kids. And Lenny right next to her. it's just woven into our DNA that I can't not notice them. And you know what my prayer is for this church? And it's absolutely Jason's as well, and others on the team, that you can't not notice them, that you can't not pass them by without stopping and seeing them and say, hey, I'm Debbie. What's your name? What school are you going to? What grade are you in? Tell me about yourself. So good to see you. I'll see you next weekend. I'll see you on Wednesday night. That you can't not. Because guess what, friends? We can't afford to pass them by. We've got to be thinking about this arch that we are building as we interact with the ages so that they never feel cut off. So we get to serve. And I am unabashedly telling you that in the youth ministry and in our kids ministry, we would love to have you. Not all of you, because some of you are shady, but there's some of you who I think would be amazing. And so we've made it really easy. In the Connect Center, we have two, they call them the one sheet, and it tells you about some of the misconceptions and then some of the truths about what we're looking for. You flip it over, and there's six opportunities on both sheets that are different, depending on what area you choose to serve in, that you can just look at. And I'm just going to ask that you go home with one of those sheets today and start praying. And if your heart is even ticking right now, it's because you're supposed to serve. Isn't that great? And so this Tuesday, we have a volunteer, potential volunteer, kind of meetup information that you can be a part of. And we've even made it so ridiculously easy for you. You may know this, but California state law says that you need to be live scanned or fingerprinted in order to work with anybody under 18 years old. It's a great law, by the way. I've been in youth ministry for over 30 years. You gotta have it. It protects everybody. So I'm gonna ask for you to go over and get live scanned. Is that okay that I was just that direct with you? No? Sorry. Okay. Pretty soon I'm going to be done. Actually, I didn't hear no. And thank you for not saying no. Because for some of you, this is the right way to serve. And for others of you, there's other ways to pass on your legacy through service. And I would just challenge every single one of you in this room today to just say, God, what could that look like? How does it look like from you? So we prepare and share our stories, we serve, and then we surround ourselves, number three, with spiritual symbols. With spiritual symbols. And again, I'm saying this, why do we need symbols? Why do we need reminders? Somebody tell me. Because we forget. We forget. I don't remember what I did 5 days ago, let alone, you know, gosh, a year ago or two ago. So we need reminders. And one of the things, I'm going to go really practical with all of us in this room today. One of the things that we've done is made something extremely practical in our home. I want you to think about what is one place that you go to in your home or in your dorm room or, you know, where do you go every day? That's not the bathroom. That's just not the bathroom because we're not going to talk about that right now. Refrigerator. Very nice. That's impressive. Your refrigerator. So this is what our family chose to do to remember what God has done. We call it God-sized surprises, and there's been many, and answered prayer. And we started this in 2016 because we forget. So I can look up there and I can go, oh, remember in 2016? Yeah, the Albanese, they went to church here. They gave me two oversized chairs. Do you know what I was praying for? Oversized chairs. And then that's minor, but it mattered. And then we didn't have the money to take our kids traveling. Well, someone asked me to speak in Florida. So we were able to bring our whole family to Florida. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And some things, I mean, somebody in 2018, can you see that lower one? It says Diff sunglasses. This is just kind of silly that I put this on here. But you know how God knows what you need? And some of those things you ask for, and he doesn't give you. And then there are some things that you ask for and he chooses to give you. Well, where's John Batarsi's wife? Yeah, right there. John Batarsi, for those of you who don't know, he's our executive pastor here at St. Andrew's. His wife was wearing these awesome glasses one day, obviously in 18. I'm like, where did you get those glasses? And I found out the name, I took a picture. Do you know that the next week, somebody put these brand new glasses on my desk? That's a God surprise, and it's a prayer that I didn't even know that I wanted answered. Does this make sense how this works? I would have forgot that because I forget stuff. And then 2024, finally, I'm just going to lead that. This is what we came up with 30 days ago because I got hired 30 days ago to be in this position, and that's why I haven't had a chance to type it up because I've been a little busy. But it says St. Andrew's Press. God has brought me back. Come on, somebody. I mean, this is God. We need reminders. We forget. And so this morning, we have given each and every one of you a stone. Do all of you have a stone that you can hold in your hand right now? I would invite you to pick up that stone wherever it is. If you need one, just raise your hand and we will get one to you. But this stone, I would throw one at you. And if you don't like my message, don't stone me. Okay. Anyway. But notice this stone as you feel it. There's some people in the balcony who still need some stones. As you feel this stone, notice that it is, well, it's smooth. Do you know how this stone is smooth? Because it has been worn over time and time again because it was in a river. It wasn't in a reservoir. I think Joshua was onto something when he said, pick up the stone, remember. Would you hold your stone high up in the air and repeat after me? God, I promise to remember what you've done. You are good. So put this in a place where you will remember that he is good. I don't know the details of your story. I don't know what you think about serving, if you've ever done it before in your life. I don't know what you think necessarily about remembering, but here's what's amazing about God. At the end of all of it, you guys showing up today, here's what Joshua said to his people, and it's what God says to us also. He says, but if serving the Lord seems, I don't know, undesirable to you, well then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, but as for me and St. Andrew's, we will serve the Lord, Yada.